It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Greetings once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so good to be able to speak with you today and share with you the Word of God. And we're going to continue our study today in the book of Romans. And we left off last time in chapter 9, and we completed that study of chapter 9, and now we go into Romans chapter 10. And I would ask you to get your Bible and open that with me as we study together. Once again, I remind you, if you're driving in your car, I understand if you can't open your Bible. Please do not do that while you're driving. But if at all possible, please have your Bible open as we study the Word of God together. Well, today we pick up with our study in the book of Romans in chapter 10. Well, the objective of this chapter, first of all, is to see the importance of combining zeal with knowledge. It's also to understand that Israel had plenty of opportunity to heed the gospel of Christ, but for the most part, they had rejected it. And third, that salvation is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. In chapter 9, we saw that God's sovereignty was emphasized. That doesn't mean that God chooses certain people to be saved and certain to be lost. No, it means that once you get saved, He has chosen you for a certain job. He's chosen you, first of all, to tell others about Him. And then He places within the church, that's the local church, He places within that group of people certain individuals to do certain jobs. That's God's sovereignty. Well, now as we move into chapter 10, we see that man's responsibility is emphasized here. Verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Once again, Paul is stating this, and he's starting by saying he wants Israel to be saved. His brethren, the people of Israel. We see in verses 1 through 15 that Israel's refusal of God's righteousness is seen there in those verses. But in verses 1 through 4, Paul's expression of concern for Israel is seen. Paul's deep longing or his desire, we've seen this before. His appeal to God was that the nation of Israel, as well as individuals, if possible, be delivered or saved. Now, note here that Paul is speaking to saved people in chapter 10 of Romans. He's addressing saints and to the beloved of God, which, of course, is the born-again children of God, our Father. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we see that Paul is actually writing the book of Romans to save people. Now, it doesn't mean that people cannot see in this book how to be saved or how to lead someone to Christ. It's what it's saying here, and what I'm saying is the book of Romans is written to save people, to help us to know what has happened to us and what has taken place. Jesus saved us. We use these verses that are found here to help other people, of course, to find Jesus as Savior. There's nothing wrong with that. We say it's written to save people, but it can be used to help other people know Jesus. And although Paul is writing to the saved people, this is also given so that people who do not know Jesus as Savior can see that they need to be saved and how that these people of the church in Rome had gotten saved and how we get saved and how that anyone gets saved, even today, and that today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. The Bible says today. And this is just as fresh today as it was back when Paul penned these words down by the Holy Spirit that a person is saved by grace through faith. Today is the day of salvation. As we study here, we see that Paul actually shares the desire of his God and his Savior in these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And Paul wrote this as well. He goes on to say, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, once again, God is no respecter of persons. He gives the same calling to everybody. He would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, that means women as well, to have all mankind to be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, it says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Well, Paul is speaking of his people now, the Israelites and the Jewish people here. But Paul gives testimony that Israel was enthusiastic for God, but they were wrong in doctrine, in other words, with the knowledge of the truth. They had the truth. They had the Old Testament. And at this time, the New Testament wasn't completed, but they had the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul said that they had a zeal for God. They wanted to do what was right. They had been led the wrong way. They did not know, and they had received the wrong doctrine. In other words, they had received something contrary to the truth. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, they wanted to do it on their own. But Paul says that they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. In other words, what God wanted them to submit to. He wanted them to submit to Him. The word ignorant here connects with the phrase not according to knowledge. In verse 1, as we've already read. Their lack of right teaching or doctrine meant they were trying their own method of justification based on works or the law and the flesh instead of trusting in God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See, now Christ is the end or the fulfillment of law. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. See, Christ didn't come to destroy the Ten Commandments or to do away with it. He did not come to do away with the Old Testament prophets and the ancestors of these Jewish people. He said, I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, if a person could save himself, if a person could go to heaven on his own merits, then Christ wasted his time and we've wasted our time in believing in him. But the Bible says that we have not wasted our time believing in what he has said. And he did not waste his time coming to the earth to be born of a virgin and to die and to raise from the dead. He was sinless and he died and he took my sin upon himself. He took your sin upon himself on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me. He did not waste his life, but he gave his life that you and I could have life. If we believe on him, if we've trusted him as our Savior, then we're on our way to heaven. There's no other way. The Bible says, and the people need to come to that realization. Just as these Jewish people that Paul is talking about here, they needed to understand that their works of righteousness were not good enough to get them to heaven. And by the way, neither is yours, neither is mine. My works of righteousness are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah 53. And I need to understand that I have to understand this, that there is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, His Son. Now, the result of fulfilling the law is righteousness. We've been talking about that. It's to everyone who by faith believes God, about having faith in Jesus. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 say this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and he found in him not having mine own righteousness, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now the law can show me my unrighteousness, but it cannot give me righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 that we just read, Paul gives further insight concerning righteousness of the law and the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We go to Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15, and we see there the righteousness of the law versus righteousness by faith in Christ. Well, in verse 5 of Romans chapter 10, it says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, you've got to keep them all. And describeth. And this verse means writes about. In other words, Moses wrote about this. And the quotation about Moses is from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. And the emphasis is on the word doeth. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5 says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if any man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Well, the gospel, according to the law, is if a person has kept the law, then he will live. Well, the gospel, according to the law, is not good news to all when we realize the curse. Failing to fulfill the law is death. Now, let me remind you once again that no person has ever kept the Ten Commandments or the law. Only Jesus Christ has done that. No one has ever done that. Except for Jesus Christ. No one is saved by keeping the law, the Ten Commandments. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, it says this, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, he's under the curse. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ was hung on that tree on the cross of Calvary. He kept the law perfectly. He's the only one who ever did and the only one who ever will has ever been able to do that. No man is able to keep the law. No person is saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Not one person has ever done that except Jesus Christ. If you've broken one of the commandments of God found in the Ten Commandments, then the Bible says you're guilty of breaking them all. So, therefore, by the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The Bible tells us that in order to be saved, a person must repent. What does that mean? That means to have a change of mind. That means that instead of going your way, you're willing to go God's way. You've changed your mind about continuing on the way you are. And you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you acknowledge that by saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, please save me. Come into my heart. Come into my innermost being, Lord, and save me, so that I won't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Please, Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. If you'll pray that prayer, God will be serious with you once you are serious with Him. Call upon Him today. Trust Him as your Lord and your Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Oh,